have grandchildren that are old enough stay at our house for the afternoon. And so our sons are on staff at our church. And then so I fix lunch, because if I fix lunch, that means they're coming over every week, you know? Next thing you know, I wouldn't do it. So I just have this standing thing, and they come over to eat every Sunday. And then I call in my cute kids. They hang out for the afternoon. And so after the parents leave, then we have dessert. And then at 5 o'clock, we have 5 o'clock tea. And so that's every Sunday afternoon. And I do that. So I'm going to miss that today, but that's okay. I'm glad to be with you. And just love time with ladies. We can talk about some things. And that is just different with men, right? I mean, you know, it's just different. So we're glad that you're here. I do have two devotional books. I'm not a salesman at all. But so it's kind of just an honor system set out there. But I've got two devotional books. Now, you need to be in your Bible every day. And I know every one of us understand that. You need to be in your Bible every day. This is a simple thought, what it is. If I wrote a dictionary, I would write it with illustration. I'm a simple person. I'm an average person. And so I like to use illustrations to understand things. And so Paws and Selah are the two names. I have a grandchild named Selah. This is not by her name. This is Selah, as we say in the Bible, pause to ponder, right? And people ask me, well, are you going to name a book after every child? First of all, no, I'm not going to write that many. That would be 9, probably not. And next of all, this is not her name, okay? But her name is spelled just like this, Selah. We say Selah for her name, so I end up saying Selah a lot here. But these are just simply a verse that it gives you. Illustration, you know, explaining what the verse means, an illustration, and maybe some points to do. This one that I just flipped to, Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. And then this is a story of something practical that happened in my life, and some things that the Lord talks about, some other verses, and there's 5 things that can apply to you today. So, you know, a lot of times, none of us would say we don't believe the Bible. We do. But you know what we don't do oftentimes? Put it into practical action in our lives. And so, you know, the Bible is not something to go and say, yada, 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 okay, Lord, bless the day, amen. And then we go on our way. But that's what we like to do, isn't it? That's what we like to do. So I want us to think about some things today, and that's where our handout comes in. I'm so excited to be with you today. We're going to open our Bibles to Psalm 101. So open your Bible, and we're going to, this is one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 101. Is only, let's see, it is 8 verses. Many of the psalms are psalms of praise. We know psalms as psalms of praise, praising the Lord for this, David or whoever the other psalmist might be. They praise the Lord, they praise the Lord, they praise the Lord through bad times, they praise the Lord through good times. But this psalm is not necessarily a psalm of praise. It is a psalm of practice, a psalm of practice. And so let's read this psalm, and then we're gonna talk about it. Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. This is Psalm 101, a song of David, a song of practice. There are so many I wills in this chapter, in this psalm. And, you know, when I say I will do something, that means I'm going to intentionally do it. You know what I mean by that. I have some things sometimes that I'm going to do intentionally, and you do too. I have an intentional purpose with something in mind. Our grandchildren, they do things intentionally. A lot of times, the little ones, you know, they'll walk by. I remember, in particularly, you know how you remember your first, even your first child, sometimes you'll remember things that you don't about the other children. You're like, when was your third or fourth child born? And you're like, they were born. But you know, the first one, you've got the day, the minute, the second, and every detail. Well, that's kind of how it is with the grandchildren. Now, I remember Owen and Riley, and I kept them every Wednesdays as well, and I still do after school. The ones that are in town, our daughter lives an hour away, and so I do my best to go when I can and be, but I don't see them as much as I keep the others every Sunday and every Wednesday. Our daughter, Joy, she said, Mom, Delora and Nicole realize how good they have it. You dress those kids 2 out of 3 services a week. And I said, Joy, I don't think they understand how good they have it. No. But this particular day, Riley was coming in after, Owen was coming in after Riley, and Riley was already at her house, and she came in, and I have a coffee table that you can't bang up, you know, just so the kids can play on it, and it's just made out of solid wood, and it's that more country look, so you can just sit on it and play on it. Well, the trains were set up there, the Thomas the Train track, and all the things were sitting there. And so here comes Riley, she's playing, and Owen comes in. And Riley literally gathered up all the trains in her hand. And she stood there. Have you ever seen like a rabbit in the yard when you walk up and there's no movement because that rabbit thinks, they can't see me. And we can see them, but the rabbit thinks we can't. Riley's standing there with those 4 little trains in her hand, and Owen comes in, and she doesn't say a word. And it was the cutest thing. It was adorable. Now, to her, she was saying, I'm playing with these. She intentionally grabbed those things to make a point. Kids do that all the time. They're 12 now, and they're still like that. They love each other deeply. But we were at a soccer game the other night, and I watched Owen. Well, he'll be 12 in 3 weeks. You know, boys don't mature as fast as girls. You know, Riley's 12, and she's walking around with her purse and her friends, and no one's walking around this way. He ran by her and hit her on the head and kept running, you know. And intentional, doing things intentional with a purpose in mind. You intentionally did some things this morning. I want you to think about your morning. I hope you intentionally washed your body. I hope you intentionally brushed your teeth. You intentionally picked your clothes out because you said, I'm going to church. There are some things you did intentionally today with a purpose. On purpose. For a purpose, we do things. We make willful decisions. And so in this psalm of practice today, David is saying, I'm going to intentionally do some things. See, David has been anointed as king. And he's like, you know what? I'm not king yet, but I've been anointed as king. And there are some things in my life that need to line up. You know, we're the king's daughter if we're saved. We've heard that term for many years, probably, if you've been in church very long. But are we recognizing, are we practicing intentionally things that make us look like the king's daughter? I'm not saying an outward profession that is false and not good. I'm saying inwardly, in my heart, do I have habits of practice because I'm the daughter of the King of Kings? Jesus is my Savior. He wants me to grow every day. He wants me to live what I believe in my heart. You know, there's a sad world out there, isn't there? I know when we go to different stores in Raleigh, I'm out in the public, then everywhere I see hurt. Kids that are screaming for attention because they're lonely, they're hurt, their homes are broken, they feel left out. But you know what? We, as a child of the King, can practice what we know is true and make a difference in those lives. So that's what we want to talk about today. We want to do some things that are straightforward. In this chapter, there are wills and shalls. There are 9 wills. There are 5 shalls. The shalls mean I'm going to do it. I'm making a resolute time and statement in my life saying I will. You know, whosoever shall be saved, right? I hope I'm going to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's like if you do it, it's going to happen. And that's the kind of shalls that are in this chapter as we read through. It'd be good for you to go and do a study in Psalm 101. If you need to make some resolutions in your life that are definite, you could go back maybe this afternoon and just circle them. But let's get your hand out and look what verse 1 says. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will sing praises to God. I will sing praises to God. I love to sing. I love music. I love good music. We have good music at our church, and I love our middle son. I just love to hear Philip sing. And so, you know, I always look on the platform on Sunday morning. I'm like, yes, Philip's got a special today, or he's in a quartet, or I love, love, love singing. And the Lord says, sing and make a joyful melody. The kind of music that we put in our heart, that's the kind of song we're going to sing. If you're down and just feeling low, you ought to buy some music that the Lawsons have today, because it's wholesome music and it's not boring. It's a song of practice. Singing about the Lord and doing what we believe in our heart, and it will lift you up. Reading the Bible will lift you up, because what is in our heart is going to come out. You know why I talk about my grandchildren? They are in my heart. I pray for them every day. I pray for them every time I go to the altar. No matter what I'm going to the altar for, I've made a decision that I will call my children's and children's name out to the Lord while I'm on my knees before I get up. Why? Because they're in my heart. Well, the music that's in your heart is going to spill out. Have you ever caught yourself singing? Just this past week, I love to sing in the car. You know, I turn the speakers up loud, and I just pretend that I sound just like the people on my hard drive. And I download my CDs on my hard drive, and I love it, love it, love it. Well, I was singing. Well, in this time, I got involved with my hands. I was sitting at a red light, and I was just singing, and I looked over, and this man was just dying. This was just this past week, and I just kind of like You know, and he did that, and he laughed, and he went on, you know, but I was caught up. Have you ever watched a child get caught up? I will sing praises to God. I want to sing from my heart. Number two, I will behave myself. I will behave according to God's word. I will behave according to God's word. Now, I love the word behave, and it's right here in the Bible. Are you all like Southern enough to get the word behave? Have you ever told your children this? You better behave or. We'll stop at or so we're politically correct. You better behave. I know some words are old school. You know, I told my years ago when our children were still in our home, we were working in the yard. Well, I grew up in Southern Alabama. And we used words like, for a shovel, we called it a scoop. We just did. We called it a scoop. You could go get the scoop. Well, when I got to Raleigh, I tried to, you know, overcome some things like putting ketchup on ham sandwiches. I didn't know people didn't do that. I served all these ham sandwiches one time at a team meeting, and the lady helped me said, Sharon, you know why the sandwiches are still there? And I said, no. I mean, I thought teens ate everything. And they said, not with ketchup on ham. And I never did it again after that. I didn't know. That's what we did. Mayonnaise, ketchup, mustard, all stirred up, put it on that ham sandwich, and ate it. Well, we were working in the yard with the boys, and I told one of them, go get scoop. The word came out when I had tried to, and they said, they didn't do it. And again, I said it. And they were not obeying, so I began to scold. And one of them walked over and said, Dad, what's she asking us to get? We don't know what she's talking about. They've been googly-eyeing each other saying, what's she talking about? Instead of asking me. And the word had slipped out. So behave is kind of like that. But the Bible says here in verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. What does that mean? Now, can we be perfect? No. Perfect in the Bible is talking about growing in grace, growing in our walk with the Lord. And it says, I will behave myself according to as I learn in the Christian faith what to do and how to behave, I'm going to do it. There may be someone that comes to church today that has never been to church. I guarantee you in Raleigh, North Carolina today at Beacon Baptist Church, somebody came in those doors that had never been to church. It happens every week. We have a very diverse group of people, and people, it's not a churchy world anymore in Raleigh. People don't know that you stand to sing hymns and sit after and bring your Bible sometimes. They don't know. It's a different day. And so as we learn to behave, then we begin that consistency of conduct. Have you ever known someone that has been a Christian for 50 years but acts like they've been a Christian for 5? They get offended very easily. Their feelings, they wear them on their shoulders. You have to watch everything you say. They're judging it. It's because they are not behaving themselves wisely in a perfect way. Now, I'm not trying to judge them, but what I am trying to say to you is, don't be that Christian that doesn't grow. Don't be that Christian that doesn't grow. I don't want at the end of my life to be the same as I am today, and I don't want today to have been the same as when I got saved. Because the Christian life is a growing step. And we're growing and we're taking steps. Every now and then we mess up, right? Lord, forgive me. And we go and we're but you know what? It is still a path that I'm on back and forth until I go to heaven. And I must understand this growing step and behave myself according to God's word. According to what he wants me to do. I cannot do that apart from reading my Bible every day, ladies. You say, well, you just don't know my schedule. Then you have the wrong schedule. We have to read our Bibles every day. Every day. Now, you say, I don't really understand it. I'll tell you how you can. I'm doing a discipleship group. Our church is, and I'm in my second year of a different group. You have a group for a year, and then people go out of that group and start groups, and then people go out of that. Well, my discipleship group meets every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, and we study the same verses, the same chapters, and then we journal it, and we write it down. And it's amazing what you'll remember if you write it down. You say, we memorize verses. You say, well, I can't memorize. Have you ever tried? Sure. Well, do you read that verse 5 times every day? You might not memorize it word for word, but it's going in your heart. You are beginning to grow. So we write it down so that we can behave ourselves according to God's word. If I don't know what God's word says, I cannot behave myself according to God's word. Number 3, I will live a clean life. I will live a clean life. See, there's some things that I want to do, and I have to make a resolution to myself. I will. I will. Some of you probably have been on the road of diet, don't diet. Oh, we don't diet. We just learn to eat better and all that. And it's tough. It's a tough thing to do. Or I will go to the gym, you know. I will exercise. I will walk a mile a day. That's how you read your Bible. I will. But you know what we all do? We quit and we start again and we quit and we start again. But maybe you go a little bit longer this time and a little bit longer the next time and a little bit longer until you are doing it every day. The same with living a clean life. Verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I know this. When I got my heart and life totally right with the Lord when I was 16 years old, you say, that was a long time ago. Seems like yesterday, doesn't it? For you when you think back. But let me tell you what happened. When I got up off the altar, my eyes saw differently. It was like blinders had been taken away, and my sin that I had just confessed made me sick. It made me sick to my stomach. And then I had to deal with, I knew that God forgave me, but I had to forgive myself. I was so upset. And you say, well, you were so young. But I still wasted some of my high school years that I could have been a better witness and a better testimony and lived a clean life. Does your sin make you sick? Does it make you sick? Something is coming to your mind. We're never, ever going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect till we get to heaven. But that perfection is that growing in grace. What do you take in your eyes? What do you see? What you see is what's going in your heart, and that's what you're going to say. You're going to see it. It's going to enter your heart. You're going to say it. You wonder how sometimes people do what they do. That's what's going in. That's what's going in. But when the Bible's going in, when the right things are going in, we are going to desire to live that clean life. See, Eve saw, then she touched, then she ate. Now, we don't know how long that took. For different personalities, it takes a different amount of time. Some people just indulge. Some people it takes a while. But apart from centering ourselves around this book, we're going to see it and we're going to touch it. See, you think you can stop with touching, but you can't because the devil's real. And then she ate it. Don't make a habit of your sin. We're going to mess up. We're going to sin. But let's not let that be the habit of our own lives. The Bible tells us to commune with our own heart. I could say so much about that. Ladies, look at your sin and decide, what do I need to confess to God? Number four, I will choose my friends carefully. I will choose my friends carefully. Psalm 101:4 says, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Now, let me tell you what that does not mean. That doesn't mean you don't know a sinner, okay? If you don't know a sinner, you're living a bottled life that is not pleasing to Jesus, okay? Because we're not saved to live this perfect life like a monk, which didn't live a perfect life because they took themselves with them into that monastery. We are saved to soak up God's word and go back into the world and spread the seed of the good news and bring them to the house of God and grow the family of God. But what it means is I will not be best buddies with somebody who's going to pull me down. And you got to be careful. You say, all my friends are in the church. That's fine. Are they pulling you up or down? I'm just saying, you have to be careful. If I were to stand on the edge, the platform, and somewhat a man even, if it was vice versa, a man were up here and I was down there, somebody stronger, and we tugged at each other, you know what's going to happen, right? Gravity's going to happen. And the man is going to be pulled down by me. Why? Probably because of it's the way it works. So the stronger Christian is going to say, I'm just going to see and I'm just going to touch. I'm not going to partake. But we will partake. We must be careful and be that right example. I will choose my friends carefully. Then number five, I will focus on victorious Christian living. I will focus. Verse 6 says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. I want to focus on what God wants me to do. What does God want you to do today? Now, I'll be honest. I believe one of my purposes on this earth and one of my main purposes is to serve my family, to pray for my family. That is two of my main things. I know that. Because there's nobody that's going to pray for their family like a mother, like a grandmother. Because we know the weaknesses and the strengths of each of our family members. God has a purpose for us, and he wants us to be faithful, and he wants to bring people, us to bring people alongside of us to be faithful so that we will be focusing on victorious Christian living. Victorious living. Do you know what I mean by victorious Christian living? Doing the right things in the right way at the right time for the purpose of serving the one and only true God who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. If I'm going to live victoriously, I've got to do some things in my life. I've got to be faithful. If you're not faithful to church, you cannot live a victorious Christian life. If you're not in your Bible every day, you cannot live a victorious Christian life. Don't fool yourself. Victorious Christian living is waiting. And you need to be serving. There's probably spots right now in this church that need help. You say, well, that what's available is not my cup of tea. Well, maybe the Lord wants you to get out of your spot and do that before he gives you something else. If I had time, I could go into things like that. God doesn't call us for just what we want to do. He wants to build our gifts sometimes in some other areas. You say, well, if I can't sing a solo, then I'm just not going to serve. Well, the Lord might want you to clean the church first before he'll give you that spot. And so you've got to focus on victorious Christian living and how the Lord wants to work in your life. And then, number five, I will support my pastor and the ministries of my local church. I will support it. Verse 8 says, I will utterly destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. I just believe that oftentimes the church is hurt from the inside more than the outside. How could the wicked doers hurt the city of the Lord if it's people from the outside? But it's not. It's usually people on the inside. Miss Janet, how long do I have? Okay. From the inside, a church implodes. And here we are sitting here. How can we be a wicked doer? Because I'm a good person. Good people do this. You know that conference they had yesterday? Why did we waste the electricity bill on that? I can't believe it. We don't need one more thing to do. They want me to do what? And then we go over, hey, do you agree? Now, I am talking to the right group of ladies, because it is ladies, not the men, that start that. And in our church, people that leave disgruntled, you know who started it? Every time that I know of, it's the women. And we didn't start out that way. We started out solid, serving the Lord women. But you know what happens? We miss a day here or there of our Bible reading. We, you know, and we think we can overcome it. It's good people that do these things. But we're missing the mark of godliness. So we have to make a resolute vow. I will support my pastor in the ministries of this church. I'm going to shock you. I don't agree with every way every T is crossed at Beacon Baptist Church. That's my church. But it's not doctrine that's wrong. Now, if your pastor starts preaching another doctrine, yes, absolutely. But if he does little things like moves the table or change the decor, it's not wrong. Just because it's not my taste. It's not wrong. And we need to support the ministry where we are fed. You say, well, I'm not getting fed here. Well, then probably you're not coming to the table with a fork and a spoon. If I want to get fed at church, I need to bring my Bible. I take notes. I have a wide margin Bible, which I do have to have my glasses to read. But I've got all this room around it. And I used to just write notes on paper, but then I realized that if I do this, then I can go back and I can add to the passages and I can add my notes. And that's how I do it. You do it the way that's best for you. That's what is best for me. I will support my pastor. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to be involved in his sermon when he's preaching. I'm going to sing. I'm going to serve. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to do it for the right reason, which is going to give me rewards in heaven. Now, if I do it for the wrong reason, it's going to burn up a whole other subject for another day. I will support. Now, ladies, we do a lot of things intentionally. Some of you intentionally cooked lunch today. Some of you intentionally didn't cook lunch today. But we do things intentionally. If you work an outside job, you intentionally get there according to what's expected. If you homeschool, you intentionally have a plan so that your children learn. If you work in this ministry, there's some expectations you intentionally do. What are we intentionally doing for the Lord? Now, we could expand on all these things, but I want to give you some thoughts today to think about. What will I do intentionally? Your last statement. Am I living intentionally by the principles of Psalm 101? See, all of us are in a different place spiritually. But we're all headed to the same place. And that is serving the Lord to give Him glory. See, if I look up and I don't look around, I serve better. If I look around, I'm like, they honored her for 25 years of teaching. They forgot that I've been over here playing the piano for 25 years. You know, that's the way churches are. Some things get honored, some don't. It's the way it is. But see, when I keep my eyes this way and not this way, I'm better off. You're better off.